Welcome back to The Continent of Resistance, a podcast on labor movements across Asia, and our special series on the striking decade.
So, Kian, we are back with the second series or second season of the Continent of Resistance podcast. How have you been in the last 9 or 10 months since we finished our last episode of the first season?
Hi, Kevin. Yeah, and hi to our listeners. Wow, time flies, right? It's been a while, and I'm doing pretty well. A lot of changes. How about yourself?
Yeah, I feel since our last season, yeah, we have been starting new projects. You know, I guess one of the things that we have started together with other friends is Asian Labor School, which just started its first semester 2 or 3 weeks ago. So quite excited about this. You know, we're both leading a course. I think that's a sort of exciting right. New direction for the work. But also I'm wondering if we should say more about why we're taking so long to produce the new season.
I think this second season is totally different. It's a different format. We have a clear set of questions, right? And set of direction, different from season one or the first, the pilot. Yeah. So yeah, why don't you say a few words?
Yeah, it is very different. So I feel like the first season is, you know, our first time to do a podcast, and
right,
we kind of just like experiment with something sort of simple, which is each month we speak with one or two, I think at 1.3 guest speakers who are either activists or researchers about a topic that is quite recent. So it's something that happened in the previous months, or it's based on some writings that our guest speakers have done recently. But there was no overall planning for this first season. I think it was whoever we think is really interesting to talk to or a topic that we want to cover. And I think we kind of plan along as we are doing the podcast each month. I remember each month after we finish recording the previous episode, we start to talk about what it will be the topic of next episode and who will be good speakers.
Right.
But this season is kind of very different, that we start planning ahead way right. before, right?
Right. Yeah. To put it nicely, it was a little bit ad hoc, right? Like the first season, you know, we improvised a little bit. But for this season, it's going to be a special series that we, as you said, we have a planning. We spend a lot of time conceptualizing it, thinking about what we wanted to talk about. And then we even had a chance to sit down and, you know, make a planning with our editor, which is a new addition to our team, right? And, you know, we each went to do research and, you know, documenting or preparing episodes. We had a division of labor where, you know, we separated the countries or the cases that we wanted to focus on. And then we came back and sat down together and recorded the main part, right? But basically, I wanted to say that what we are doing in the second season with this special series is not different in terms of what we wanted to talk about from the first season. It's always the same main themes that we want to cover, but we have more time. We have privilege of, you know, having time to think about it more deeply and to prepare the materials more than last year.
Yeah, and I think it's useful to maybe start with what motivates us, why we're covering this number of countries. We're covering Vietnam, China, Indonesia, and Cambodia. Why we're covering these countries, we're covering this particular period, and what is the motivating question that drive our discussion?
Right, yeah. Well, for me, it was, I think the pivotal point was the Global Labor Movement in Dialogues forum or seminar that we had early this year, right? In January 2024, right? It was in what during that time, we prepared the discussion. I prepared some of the materials for the discussion in New York. And I think in the process of doing that, thinking about it, and then talking about it with a lot of people who attended that seminar, I think it made me realize that we should cover the decade 2010s in Asia and go deeper into the processes, that trigger that cycle of resistance, right? That's for me. I think I wanted to go deep in terms of, getting to know better about what's going on, and understanding what happened. What about you?
Yeah, I think one of the motivating questions, I think it started with just a curiosity about why there were seemingly so many strikes in across many different countries in Asia around this period of late 2000s and early 2010s. Within kind of 4 or 5 period, we see sort of strike waves and general strike,
Right.
and in this period across different places, and I think I was just kind of I was asking around. I think I asked you, I asked a number of other people who have been writing about different countries in East and Southeast Asia, and why that was the case. Obviously, there's no coordination across border as such necessarily, but somehow there are factors that contribute to that phenomenon. I think that was one of the, for me, one of the main motivating factors. And because I did not get a satisfactory answer, I feel like why don't we spend some time figuring this out ourselves?
Right. I think it was kind of contagious. So probably your curiosity got into me. The question came from you, and then, I think that original question was is one of the questions in our, is it a seminar? Do I call it correctly? I remember we used a particular
They call
term.
it symposium, but
Symposium. Yes. Sorry.
it's the
Symposium.
same
That
thing.
symposium. So yeah, so I believe now that you explained that it was probably coming from you, and then so that I got curious and participated in the process of trying to understand that decade of strikes too.
Yeah, I think I also got that curiosity from, from talking to people across different countries in Asia, is that they talk about the strikes, a decade ago, and they talk about what happened after. I think there's a sense of trying to come to terms with what happened, to situate ourselves a little bit more, this moment a bit more. I think we are probably in a sort of definitely not at the height. I don't know if this is the bottom, but it's certainly at a low point of a labor movement in Asia in terms of workers' militancy or in terms of struggles. And it seems that somehow there was in comparison, a sort of a high point of worker militancy around a decade ago. So I think in multiple contexts, national contexts, I sense there's a sense of things are really not going well now. But they were better before, like 10 years ago or something. And that's another background of, oh, so what exactly happened? That certainly motivates my other work, on China specifically, is to figure out, so what happened and why did that kind of wave of strikes and protests happen, and why did it die down, after a few years, and what happened after? So those that's another aspect of the curiosity.
I guess for me, if I can add one more thing, I think for me, part of my intention is also to try to deconstruct the idea of strike, people talk so much about strike these days, right? And well, but the way that people talk about, the way in which people talk about strikes, it's really broad. You know, they often refer to strikes as, you know, ultimate weapons, and you know, in some contexts, you know, workers were able to pull it off, right? Like, you know, call a strike or a general strike happens. So I wanted to go back in time and look at what happens, right? And wanted to actually think about strike. Want us to think about strike in a way that, you know, is more nuanced and situated, right? Like, you know, in like how did it happen in some context, and especially what would be the impacts, right? What would be the impacts of strike, and you know, both for the outside and inside, especially for the inside, like for internal strength of the movements, like what happened when we were able to do that. And I think that's something that really productive for us to think about it in order to maybe come to realization that there are other tactics and strategies involved. And maybe we, even though we're not in the position to do that, there are other things that maybe we could do, or what would be the pros and cons, or, you know, consideration that we have to take in terms of preparing for it, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point to highlight. I think I was certainly, and I guess I'm still, are mesmerized by strikes, because it's often taken as a demonstration of workers' power, right? If they are able to organize a strike, pull off a strike, it means that there's a certain level of organization, a certain degree of consciousness, class consciousness. But at the same time, I think part of the reflection that we are doing in this series is you could have a lot of strikes, but actually the result, you don't always get the result that you think those strikes lead to. And I think this is going back a little bit to the book, the one of the books I read that sort of also motivated my, or helped my thinking, which that's the book If We Burn, which covered the so-called long 2010s, the protest decades. And one of the eight central question that it wants to answer is, you see so many protests around the world in the long 2010s, but despite that, the result seems either they're simply not getting what they're asking for, what they're demanding, or even things went backward. Of course, you can, and I think you can, you know, offer all sort of answers to that question, but I think that question itself for me is also interesting in the context of labor specifically. Why, despite all the strike, why are workers not winning politically or gaining more? Despite, you know, certain successes, I also do not want to overlook or ignore the you know, the victories too. But it certainly sort of falls short of a lot of people's expectation.
Right. Yeah. Why don't we touch on the themes of this special series a little bit in terms of what we discussed? Well, to be totally transparent, we already recorded, you know, the main four episodes, right? And now we are recording this introductory episode to introduce the whole series. Now we have that hindsight privilege of knowing what would happen in our series. So yeah, why don't we go a little bit deeper just to give an overview of this special series?
Yeah, let's do that. So we have in addition to the introduction, and we have a concluding episode. So we have four episodes in between. Right. So do you want to start with the second episode?
Yeah. Well, the next episode, you know, the second to be released would be the first episode in terms of the content, right? So I think we situate the cases or the strikes in four countries historically. And I think our timeline, we started in the first episode around 1990s, around the late 1990s in the different in all of these countries, in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, in Indonesia, right? So we started with the process of industrialization in these countries. And you know, sometimes the timeline is a little bit blurred, right? We have to go back a little bit in the late 80s or early 90s to kind of talk about, but the what we wanted to talk about. But the main theme would be the dialectics of market and workers' forces in within these countries.
Yeah, and the key kind of background in this the second episode is the integration into the global economy. It was also a period of neoliberalism coming to Asia. So I think that's a common thread for all those countries that we were covering.
Right. Yeah, in this period where, you know, the process of industrialization internally within the countries and integration into the global economy that started in the country kind of triggered, you know, several processes, right? Like the, you know, feminization in some, if not all of the countries, or proletarianization, you know, the process of workers, a lot of workers coming into the economy, and, you know, how that process changed dynamics within the labor movement. We touched upon that a little bit. And then the next episode, the second one after that, we go deeper into the political process. I think in the first episode, we kind of focus on the economic transition or transformations. And then we introduce the political processes in the second episode and think about these dual processes of economic and political transition at the same time, right? And how that translates into, you know, institutional framework in terms of controlling, you know, or kind of, you know, regulating the labor market, and as well as controlling the movements of, you know, the labor activism and labor movement.
Another common development in this period, or interesting development in this period, is democratization. That was certainly in the case of Indonesia. And so in the episode, we talk quite a bit on the impact of democratization on the emergent union movement in Indonesia, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just a little bit of examples in this episode, you know, the process of democratization, or, you know, lack thereof in some context. We look at how these processes interact, or, you know, have impacts on the way in which labor movements kind of organize themselves, you know, in some context where maybe the governments responded violently or more aggressively in terms of repressing the workers. So we see different tactics or different forms of resistance that takes place or took place, you know, at the time, right?
Exactly. And we really see the next episode four, focus a lot on two things. One is the global crisis of 2007, 2008, the financial crisis, right, that had a huge impact on the on global economy overall, but specifically on export industries in Asia, because they are primarily exporting their product to North America, European markets, and that has a huge impact. At the same time, we see the emergence of this kind of strike waves across the countries we are discussing.
Right, right. I think the pressure of the crisis, the global financial crisis, at during that time, put pressure on the economy and, you know, on the workers themselves, and in different contexts that we look at, you know, we saw different kind of dynamics or different forms, as I said before, of the resistance, which we could link back into the the earlier episode, and in some cases, workers had, you know, experienced, they have experimented with some local tactics, right? And then this maybe emergence of resistance in some contexts were a combination of what workers already experienced and also responding to the conditions at the time. And then I think the last episode, which is episode 5 in the series, is I think we could say is like the peak or epitome of this cycle where, you know, finally we see general strikes that, you know, that happen on the street or, you know, on the news. And I think all the episodes before that were what we were doing with the episodes before that was trying to, you know, show that what kind of conditions resulted in finally the general strikes, right? And the general strikes, we also, I think in this episode, we also touch upon issues that point to the future, such as, you know, new forms of activism among gig workers, or, you know, we also touch upon the crisis of social reproduction, you know, that we observed recently, and, you know, and also COVID-19 pandemic, you know, because we thought we saw, I think for me, that there was a lot of connection into that from that decade with the current time.
Yeah, and I think another important theme that we discuss actually all throughout several episodes is the increasing sophistication and organization of the working class itself, right? We spoke about the sort of the tactics and strategies and tactics of workers and of unions. I think that's another thread that we are quite interested in thinking through. We should talk a little bit about why we chose these 4 countries. As you mentioned, we have a little bit division of labor. So you were doing a lot of research and preparing for Cambodia and Indonesia, and I did the same for Vietnam and China. Maybe we should just talk very briefly on why we chose those 4 countries and now the, you know, 10, 15 other countries in Asia that we could have also chosen.
Yeah, I think, one of the most obvious reasons that I chose these 2 countries is that we saw general strikes, right? General strikes in Indonesia and in Cambodia that took place around early 2010s, right? Indonesia in 2013 and Cambodia in 2013 and Indonesia, a series of general strikes that, you know, started in 2012 and then 2013 and 14. And I think these general strikes are also well documented by activists and organizers in their own countries. So I think these are the factors that I think help me decide, because, you know, we have enough materials, we know some of the people we could talk to. I actually was considering Myanmar as well, but, you know, in terms of the research and maybe the readiness because of the time that we have, I finally decided to choose only Cambodia and Indonesia. Yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, in terms of for me, focusing on Vietnam and China, one reason is I'm more familiar with those 2 countries because of my own background in China, Chinese labor, but also for many years there was a lot of comparison between China and Vietnam in terms of its political institutions, but also in terms of its labor workers movement. I think they offer a different ways of thinking about this, right? So in both Vietnam and China, they did not democratize. They still have one political party in power. They still have only one government-controlled trade union federation and no independent trade union movement. So under those kind of conditions, what are the possibilities for workers' struggles? And we see actually quite a lot of wildcat strikes in both countries. So I thought that offer a kind of interesting cases or interesting cases to look at. But I think we should also say I was also thinking originally about including South Korea. Anyway, I think we also spoke about the possibility of other countries to be included. But yeah, I think it's both because it gets the amount of information and the amount of research is get too big and too complicated if I include a total of six countries. But
Right.
I think one point I want to mention is we did choose we did select those four countries because they kind of offer examples of strike waves, but also acknowledge not all of Asian countries experienced strike waves in the
Right.
2000s
Right.
and or
Right.
2010s.
Right. Yeah, I think each of these countries could offer an ideal type or a prototype, you know, if you like, of different of countries in different situations, right? Like in Cambodia, the relationship between political parties and labor movements is different from Indonesia, and I think it's also in terms of democratization process that helps us think about differences, because I think there. We saw a lot of similarities, but also, you know, differences that some of these countries have in terms of structures and institutions also help us think about why workers in these contexts decided to or were able to do what they did at the time. Yeah. So I guess our listeners are already hyped up and excited to listen to our special series. Yeah, why don't we just go right into it?
Thanks for listening to the Continent of Resistance podcast and our series on the striking decade. I hope you enjoy the conversation and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.